Congregational Presbyterian Church, and welcome to those who are enjoying us at home for our service and through live stream. My name is Rich Goodwin. I've been a member here for many years, and today I've been asked to talk about my faith journey, where God has led me throughout my life. But before we start, I'd like to do our Bible reading this morning, and this comes from Colossians 1, verse 24 through 27. That can be found on your pew Bibles on page 988. These are the words of Paul in his letters to the Colossians and to the Gentiles. Hear the word of Paul. I am glad when I suffer for you on my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and the glory Christ are for you Gentiles too, and for this is the secret. Christ lives in you. Did you hear that? Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Thanks be to God. This morning I'm going to talk about my faith journey, but I'm also going to talk about where does God live? And this has been a question that's been asked many times by many people. In the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis 1, the first sentence, it says, God created the heavens and the earth. And this creation of earth and of heaven was the primary place where God dwelled. People believe that God dwelled in heaven. So, I'd like to introduce you to my family. Lloyd, if you'd bring up the first picture there. This picture of my family, the Goodwin family. That handsome young man there in the Texaco service station uniform is my dad, James Howard. My dad was a World War II veteran. He also worked at Brown and Holder Chevrolet and Ratcliffe Ford in Cheney as what they called a grease monkey. Person that did the lube oil and filter. He also did the undersealing of the cars back in those days. They sprayed kind of a coating underneath to keep the rocks from making a whole bunch of noise under the car. From there, he went to work at Eastern Washington State College in Cheney, and he was the lead carpenter and painter for 22 years. The young lady next to him is my mother, Marie Eloise Holt Goodwin. My mom graduated as valedictorian from Cheney High School and passed up a full-time scholarship, full-ride scholarship to Washington State University, but instead she married my dad. Well, after having children, she became secretary of Betts Elementary School, where I attended school. And of course, you knew, mom works there, you can't get away with anything. believe me. And after that, she went to at the Walter Reed Elementary School, which is a laboratory school on the Eastern campus where student teachers learned from master teachers how to teach. Now the little boy that, little guy that she's holding is my little brother Roger Lee. Roger was born in May of 1951. And standing in front of her is my little brother Fred, Frederick James Goodwin. He was born in 1950. Little guy that's standing in front of my dad, that's me, Richard Sidney, and I was born in February 1949. Well, it was decided early in the marriage before children that my mom and dad agreed that the children would be raised in a Christian family. And so as early as I could start Sunday school, I started attending church at the Cheney Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Going to Sunday school, I was confirmed there, became a member, and also got married there. After attending Emmanuel Lutheran, I got my first in Selkirk, which is in the town of Medellin Falls, Washington, which is far northeast as you can get in the state of Washington, about 14 miles from the Canadian border and 14 miles from the Idaho border. And so we went to church there at the United Church of Christ. I was also a member of the board and was in charge of children's ministries. From there, I became principal at Pomeroy High School, and I went to the Methodist Church, and I was also there in charge of children, being a principal. You know, you work with kids, a lot of kids. And then I met my wife, Carrie, and we started going to church at, well, she'd been attending First Presbyterian in Clarkston. And so I began going to church there, and we got married there, and I was also, again, in charge of youth ministries. And then her oldest daughter, Jolene, got married up on Mount Hood by a pastor fellow you might know, John Williams. And John invited us to church. And so the next Sunday we came, and we met right at that back, that front door there, and John gave us the biggest bear hug that you could imagine, and we've been going here for 25 years. So in my faith, my journey, my parts of service that I do with church, I've been chairman of the mission committee. I served on the strategic planning committee that did a lot of things in this church, which we ought to know Christ, become like Christ, and to share Christ. And these beautiful banners were some of the offshoots of that. I've also was on the associate pastor committee for Pastor McLean, and I was also members of a Bible study group that really helped expand my faith. I was with the Matusiks, the Johnsons, we were with the Gossages. We also had Irene Dunn, and we also had the Wentz in our Bible study group. And I really want to do a shout out to Cliff. What a man of God, and he really has studied the Bible and can really interpret the Bible. So thank you for that in my faith, that it helps me with my faith. So, and now I work here. You know the old Modelo commercial? If you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. Well, that's how I feel here. I don't really work here. I help take care of God's house. And that's one of the biggest blessings that I've had in my life. Let's go to the next slide, Lloyd. Cute little kids. This is Easter Sunday, 1953. My mom had bought some beautiful suits there for us. I think she got them from Montgomery Ward's. You know, you ordered the old catalog and you got them sent in by mail. And we're going to be baptized at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. And we got dressed in our Sunday best there, had our pictures taken, and about ready to go up to be baptized. And I had a recollection. My aunt Janita, who's my mom's sister, baptized at the Baptist church a couple of weeks before that. And I remember Aunt Janita was dressed up in this beautiful white dress, and she had this flaming hair that was all done up, and she was just so gorgeous and pretty. And when they went to baptize her, it was a full immersion. You know, they had this big bathtub, what I thought. And of course, they dunked her under. And of course, being 4 years old, I thought that was kind of funny. You know, and I laughed because I thought it was really funny. And so when I got ready to be baptized, and with this brand new suit, I was so proud of that brand new suit. And I did not want to get fully dunked and get my brand new suit all wet. And so as I was being dragged by my mother up to the chancel area. I was complaining the whole way because I didn't want to get that suit wet. And Mom finally bent down and she whispered in my ear. She says, "Ricky," now that's my nickname, Ricky. She says, "Ricky, if you don't behave yourself, God's going to come down from that curtain." Now, in bank of the chancel area, there's the altar, and then they had this beautiful purple velvet curtain that went from floor to ceiling. And this was an upper-room church, and so it went up there pretty high. And she said, "You know, God lives behind there, and if you don't behave yourself, He's going to come down and He's going to punish you." And so, being the compliant child and fearing God, I behaved myself, and I finally got to the chancel area. And lucky for me, the baptismal fountain was only about this big around. So I didn't get to be dunked. I just got the holy water spread on my water. "Bless me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And so I was so blessed, but I knew where God dwelled. I knew where He lived, behind that curtain. Okay? Well, let's talk about in the Old Testament some places where people felt that God dwelled. Next slide. Now, most people had visions and dreams from God, telling them things to do and foretelling the future. Well, the first real encounter that somebody had was Moses. Now, Moses was tending his sheep for his father-in-law, Jethro, near Midian. And God came down through the burning bush. And He asked Moses to bring the Jewish people out of Egypt. The next time there was an encounter with God, so Midian, is Moses. When they received commandments, they were wandering through the Sinai Peninsula, and at Mount Horeb is where Moses received the Ten Commandments. And at that point, the Jewish people decided, "We really want to have a relationship with our God." Next slide. So they built a traveling tabernacle. And this is where they stored the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the Ten Commandments. And so they had a place in the back of the tabernacle. It was the Holy of Holies. The high priest could enter there once a year to talk to God. But this way, people could carry God with them. They had a place for Him to dwell, not only on the mountain or in heaven, but also in the tabernacle. Well, finally, King David's son Solomon built a permanent tabernacle in Jerusalem. And that's where, again, God dwelled. Let's go back. We're going to fast forward to the early 1960s. After being confirmed at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church, I was selected, because I did so well, to become an acolyte. Now, an acolyte uses weapons. You get to light candles. So my best friend Milo and I got to be acolytes. And so in front of the church, we had the big altar, and on each side there were a set of candles that stair-stepped up, and then you had the two main candles on the altar. So our job was to light them in unison, and we couldn't get one ahead of the other, because that would be, God wouldn't like that. And so Milo and I took our job very seriously. So one Sunday, Pastor Tullifson, our pastor, received a phone call. And his office is just right off of this door here. And so he took the phone call. Milo and I were sitting there in our black robes with the white tunics on, all dressed up, and we had a little red bow tie. And I said, "I can tell you where God lives." "No, you can't." "Yeah, I can. I know where He lives. My mom told me." So I says, "Come on." So we went up. I said, "Come here. I want you to look behind here, and you can see God." And so I reached that curtain, and I was about ready to pull it open, and Pastor Tolleson comes out of his office, and he says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm showing Milo where God lives." And he kind of had this, like, joke, a little snicker on his face, and he says, "Well, go ahead, take a look." So I pulled that curtain back, and I looked up there, and guess what I saw? You're right, a blank wall. I was just, my mouth dropped open, my eyes got big, I almost was in tears because, you know, Mom wouldn't tell me a lie. And so Pastor, in his wisdom, he says, "Well, tell you what, after church, why don't you come to my office after by, shake their hands, and we'll talk about this." So I did. After church, knocked on the door, he invited me in, and he says, "You know, I know it took a lot of courage for you to demonstrate your faith to Milo, and I know you're probably disappointed that God wasn't there. But I'll tell you what, I can tell you where God dwells." He says, "You know, God is omnipresent." And I'd never heard that word as a seventh grader. Omnipresent. What's that mean? Well, he lives everywhere. He's powerful. He created the earth. He created the heavens, the oceans, the mountains. So he dwells everywhere. And today, he might have been at a different church taking care of somebody that was in need. Your mom really wasn't wrong, because God does dwell in his house. Every church, every synagogue, every temple. And so he said, "You know, you're really lucky, because I'm about to tell you something of a secret." He says, "You know, God can be as near to you as your heart." And he says, "You know, if you open up your heart to Jesus, to God, you can invite him in, and he will dwell there forever." And the beauty of that is that he can be there every time you have a joy, every time you're in despair or hurting. He's there to comfort you. Whenever you have a decision to make that's really tough and you don't know which way to go, which road to travel, he's there to give you counsel and guidance. But the biggest thing, he's there for you to demonstrate your love for him. Because remember, we are to love our God with all our heart, all our mind, our soul, and we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. And you can demonstrate that to him. So I think that there's a lot to be said about this, that God dwells here. And I invite you, if you haven't had an opportunity to invite God into your heart, to do that today, so that he can be there. You know, Pastor Tolleson said, "You know, you don't have to have a billfold to carry God with you in case you forget it. It's always here. He's always with you, no matter where you are, where you travel, what you do. He's always with you, and he's always right here." So, at this point, I'd like to tell you that in Jeremiah 13, Christian Standard Bible, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So, will you join me in prayer? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings you have given us. Thank you for the gift of your Son, who died on the cross to save us from our sins, so that we can come to you through him. Thank you for the words of Paul that assure us that God lives within us. Today we invite God into our hearts to dwell forever, so that we may share our joys with him, be comforted by him in our hour of need, receive counsel when needed, and demonstrate our love for him and for others. All this we pray in your precious name by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's children said, Amen.